Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. Welcome back to Sports City, another edition of the College Campus Tailgate Show. We got 60 minutes or more locked and loaded in the building. I do want to start the show off and give a moment of silence shout out to a former running back of the USC Trojans, Joe McKnight, murdered this week. Very interesting situation. Definitely want to show my proper respect to Joe McKnight. Moment of silence before we start the show off. Okay, Sports City, let's get it going. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, is true. All I got is this money.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The call-in number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, we got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded in Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef in sports. I'm here. A lot has been going on in the past week or so, man, and I definitely felt I had to start the show off the right way, showing, you know, my warm feeling and sympathy to the McKnight family and Joe McKnight, people that have been rattled from USC or people that I know out here are part of gangrene and the Jets organization, and people I know from the Jets organization also that are affected by the passing of this young man. It's bad that I'm calling him a young man. He's 28 years old, and I'm older than that. So let me get into this show, man. I got everybody here in the building calling in by way of the Virginia region of the United States. I have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm cold. I'm up in Wheeling, West Virginia right now, getting ready to watch my alma mater hopefully win another state championship in the state of West Virginia. Let's bring it home, Bulldogs.
Also, and I'm having a technical difficulty at this given time, Sports City, please vibe with me. I'm going to try and get everybody here as see fit. I'm going to try and blab until I can get through this storm electronically. They're trying to give me a little hiccup before we get into the show. I think we should be back now. Calling in by way of the Ohio region of the United States of America, we have Doc in the building. Doc, welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the tailgate. I am mobile this morning in a U-Haul van picking up a television that was too big for my car that I got on Black Friday. So if you hear a lot of background noise, just picture an Ohio State Buckeye fan wearing a Cavaliers 1980s throwback hat going to pick up a TV. You've got the Black Friday deals are great. And part of it's getting the TV, and the other part of it's getting the TV home.
Okay, so I think this will be a very interesting show as we jump into a lot of situations here at the tailgate. First and foremost, if people were under a rock or not paying attention to the college situation, Mark Helfrich has been shown the door in Eugene, Oregon. Now, we have been discussing this for quite some time, especially throughout this season, as the Ducks have not played great football up until this point. He has been shown the door exiting, and there have been rumblings on what's next for the Ducks. But I do want to talk about this coaching situation with Helfrich, watching a good player like, you know, Mariota and a couple of players leaving. Once the talent walked out the door, I don't know if it's a situation he couldn't get more talent in the doors, or was it more or less his coaching capacity? I want to see how you guys feel about it, where things may lay for him later, and the revolving door, if you will, of the Oregon coaching situation. I'll start with you first, Tommy.
I'm not shocked he's gone. I said it on this show a couple. He was one that was on the hot seat. He has not been able to bring in good talent, good quarterbacks, since Mariota was gone. And that's not even him. Chip Kelly got him. The question is, where do they go next? Who do they try to get? Now, there are reports that Chip Kelly is helping with the search. I mean, I have no clue. I mean, I've heard rumors Les Miles has called for this job. Les Miles is actually calling for a couple of jobs. He wants to get back in bad. I have no clue where to go next. I'm very interested. Now, if Brian Kelly is serious about leaving Notre Dame and quitting on this team, does holler at him and bring him up here to Oregon? I mean, there's a lot of things that could possibly happen. I'm very interested in who they bring in.
Bob, your thoughts on the situation going on at Eugene, Oregon, with the Ducks and their coaching situation? In the past 5 years, they've had two coaches, with Chip Kelly leaving and Helfrich being there now. May they go to a third? Will Chip Kelly come back? Your thoughts on the coaching scenario out there in Oregon?
Well, I know I'm going to upset a lot of Oregon Ducks fans that are listening, and I happen to have a friend of mine that is an Oregon fan. But I'm just going to be honest with you. Oregon is and has been a gimmick for a long time. And why do people go to Oregon? Well, looks like under Chip Kelly they went to Oregon because they didn't have to study. They also go to Oregon so they can wear 35,000 different combinations of uniforms. Well, when all of that starts to break and the house of cards comes tumbling down, what you have left is just another average run-of-the-mill program. And that was what that is what has doomed Mark Selfridge. And we talked about him and others on this broadcast about a month ago when we did our coaching carousel discussions, who's on the hot seat. I don't think Helfrich is a bad coach. He just found himself in an unwinnable situation because everybody thinks Oregon is going to be like they were under Chip Kelly. Well, Chip Kelly had a gimmick system. Oregon is a gimmick school. They are not a blue blood college football program, and they need to get used to it. Now, are they going to be able to, like Tommy talks about, where are they going forward? Well, I mean, the biggest names out there are Les Miles, Charlie Strong. I don't know who else is out there. But the question is, does Oregon have the stones? Do they have the brass? Do they have the draw to land a coach of that caliber? I still think Charlie Strong is a good coach. I hope he doesn't go to Oregon because that is a no-win situation. And then, of course, we brought up Brian Kelly and Notre Dame, and I still think he's going to find himself on the way out before it's all said and done, either by his own doing or through the university. That's just a thought that I have, nothing to back it up. So at the end of the day, Oregon's a gimmick school. They're trying to be more than who they really are. And it just goes to show you, you can have 35,000 uniform combinations, but at the end of the day, you still are what you are.
I mean, I know Oregon said they wanted to talk to the Ohio State D coordinator, And, of course, they can't do anything like that until after everything plays out. What's that? After January, the first week of January, then they can bring in whoever they want. Yes, I've seen that on the bottom line. I've seen it because the number one candidate is they want to talk to the D coordinator for Ohio State.
Well, Oregon certainly has some defensive issues, and maybe that's where they want to concentrate now as opposed to it's been an offensive identity. I would imagine they're talking about Luke Fickell, who has been on the coaching staff at Ohio State for about a dozen years or so and was the interim coach between Tressel and Urban Meyer. They also have another co-defensive coordinator there that you know, I don't think he's going anywhere, but who knows?
Okay. It's interesting that we look at it like this with the coaching carousel and a lot of the available coaches that we have out there as of now. Les Miles losing his job this year. We also have Charlie Strong that lost his job also this year. Do we look at Oregon in a spoiled sense of the notion of them getting used to watching coaches run the scoreboard up? Because when Chip Kelly was there, they ran the score up. And at the early portion of Helfrich's term, while he still had some of the players that was with Chip Kelly, they ran the scoreboard up. Do they go to a coach that's going to more or less play conservative and deal with winning games, and if they have a marginal lead, they'll just try to get the clock out of there? Or do they accept getting another coach that could try and put, let's just say, 45 or better on the scoreboard? Because the makeup of a Les Miles, I mean, Les Miles will do it if the run game is killing you. If you can't stop their running backs, then they'll get the scoreboard to light up. And Charlie Strong, I mean, there were a couple of games while he was in Louisville, a couple of games in Texas while they ran the scoreboard up. But those were situations where they had to stay in the game. So I'm wondering what situation they do try to bring in there coaching-wise, and also to try and turn the corner, even if they do go after the defensive coordinator in Ohio State. I really hope they do look at a defensive-minded personnel. Let me just say it like that. I don't know if it's a situation where they try to put him at the head coaching position or what, but defense has to be prioritized in the Pac-12, and I will be getting into that game also that just went down yesterday. Watched every last bit of it. There are some teams in the Pac-12 that play defense, and to be honest, I know this is the name of the game in every sport, is to outscore the opponent, but almost every team that plays in the Pac-12 is more or less, you get the ball, I get the ball. You get the ball, I get the ball. And more or less a situation where if I have the ball last, we score last, well, we win the game. There has been, I'm actually getting note in the chat room from Lane Liffey as well about the coaching situation also. So, I mean, like I said, this carousel is going to be pretty interesting. Wondering if they do go after a coach that is notably looking forward to shut down some of these offenses, or do they go with a coach that they know that could be one of these offensive, supreme-minded coaches that can try and compete with the likes of, you know, Washington putting up good points, Washington State putting up good points. I can't really call any of those Arizona teams, you know, good show because they give up a ton of points and they're getting beat handily. USC, yeah, they're putting up good points as well. UCLA, I got to throw under the bus as well. I mean, the Pac-12 has their issues, and they're notably going to be known as the conference that does not play defense, does not play defense. I'm wondering how they deal with it. Oh, excuse me. He was spelling it wrong, Liffey, and it was Kiffin. Lane Kiffin. And speaking of the Lane Kiffin situation, too, I don't think this is funny that he threw it out like that. And I was like, Liffey, I was up there trying to figure out who the heck he was. But Lane Kiffin's situation, if he leaves, okay, now let's just say, and I'm spilling other topics and other things, too, right now. But if let's just say Alabama takes care of business all across the board, runs the table, does Lane Kiffin really leave Alabama and go to try and head coach again after, to me, and I'm going to say this personally, I mean, analytically, it gets spilling in my view as well, but I don't believe him. I don't buy into what Lane Kiffin presents to anybody. He gave up on two different teams, being Tennessee and USC as well. So, I mean, him being in Alabama, winning national championships, or being atop of the nation at this given point in time is something that needs to be considered. I wonder how you guys feel about what I just mentioned or what's being mentioned in the chat room as well. I'll throw this back around the kitchen. I'll start with you first, Doc. Doc, do we have you? Okay. Yeah, Doc.
Cell phone connect. Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Hey, sorry. Dropped off there. The U-Haul van wins some battle sometimes. On your question about Lane Kiffin at Alabama, you know, I'm reading, and I don't know how accurate this is, that Nick Saban really treats his assistant coaches like dirt. There's no doubt about who is in charge at Alabama, and that's Nick Saban. And you have a strong personality in a guy like Lane Kiffin, and you have to ask yourself, what more can he do there? I think he has done a good job. Obviously a national championship, and have been in the hunt every year that he's been there, productive offense. But at the end of the day, I still think it's not a perfect fit with Saban. I don't think he likes the, you know, the offensive scheme that he's starting to see take place. You know, the quarterback there at Alabama is not the kind of quarterback that they like to have, though he looks to be very good early on. So I think Lane Kiffin would be poised to leave Alabama for those reasons. But I don't know if he's going to take another head coaching position. I mean, you have to remember, this guy doesn't have the best reputation out there as well with what he did at Tennessee and how it ended at USC. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does leave. And I just wanted to say one thing about the Oregon situation that you brought up. Some of your comments, Ty, as to what kind of coach they should get. Look, I think they should bring in a coach that isn't going to try to be the next Chip Kelly. You know, that was a gimmick kind of offense that is very difficult to duplicate if you're not schooled in that sort of philosophy. So don't try to put a round peg in a square hole, so to speak, and you just need to get somebody in there that has a vision for the future.
One thing that I do want to say to you or discuss with you before I go to Tommy is, how could Lane Kiffin be mad or argue at what's going on in Alabama when they just won a national title and they are still running the table right now, still looking like the cream of the crop, and we are still trying to figure out who's going to beat Alabama? Of course, Washington may potentially end up playing them if the playoff scenario pans out that way. However, this may go down as these conference championships come into play. But Alabama is still the team to beat. They're doing this with a freshman quarterback. Regardless if he likes it or not, it's getting done. Lane Kiffin is looking like the Bear Bryant of college football at this current point in time. Nobody can really figure out what he's doing, except if we look back at what Ohio State from a couple years ago, when they had the team to go to battle or go to war with them. But right now, I mean, their front seven is one of the more annihilating front seven that we've seen in a while. Their offense is getting it done even when Hurts turns the ball over. They still get the job done, and Hurts is a dual threat, passing and throwing the ball. I mean, passing and running the ball, and he's young and learning on the fly, and he's still unbeaten. So I don't know how Kiffin could be up in arms about the situation. But and then again, as he's being addressed to me right now, looking in the chat room again, that he is being a good recruiter, and having a good offensive mind as well. But does it transition into the Pac-12 because he ran away from the Pac-12 previously? So that is the one thing I look at with Lane Kiffin, is that he's given up on two different teams already. He already has a resume that shows that he quit it when he's at the helm. Like I couldn't trust that if he's standing in front of 70 college kids believing in him, you know? So that's how I make or break the situation. Your thoughts on that, Doc, and then I'll throw it to Tommy.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel that Kiffin is all that up in arms with things at Alabama. I just think, from what I've read on how Saban is a strong personality and butts heads and makes no, you know, gets in
his assistant's face is. Again, I don't know how accurate that is, but I wouldn't be surprised. I would say my point is, if I'm Lane Kiffin, why should I stay? You know, what more do I need to accomplish? As you said, and as I said, he's won a national championship. They've been very good since he's been there, and they're doing a lot innovative on offense with the freshman quarterback. I just think he's going to take a look and maybe go to another school and try to accomplish even more there, either as a coordinator, which I think is what he would do, or as a head coach. And you ask the question, what team is going to beat Alabama? Well, I want everybody out there to hear this. There's only one team in the country that's going to beat Alabama this year, and that is Ohio State. Ohio State is the only team capable, with players on the field and a superior coaching staff, that can beat Alabama. And they proved it before, and frankly, it will be the case this year in the national championship game when those two teams meet. I'm not saying Ohio State will win guaranteed, but they're the only team that can line up with Alabama and play their game.
But see, this is the thing that I worry about with Ohio State, especially in this game this year. They don't have the pieces around the board like they did previously when they beat Alabama. And the way that Ohio State is actually, I don't want to say they've been struggling, but not putting up a great amount of points in the Big Ten, I think they would have to score the ball at an enormous clip up against Alabama. Alabama is dominating the line of scrimmage, and that's something that that's something Nick Saban stresses, is to dominate the line of scrimmage. If they could get this done, and that's if it is to pan out, Ohio State and Alabama end up going at it again, which would probably set up for a very interesting national championship. I think Alabama takes care of business, especially with a questionable situation with Ohio State on the defensive side of the ball. Also, and I'm spilling into the game that just went down. If Michigan didn't play into the teeth of Ohio State, I think that game would have played out differently. We're also getting word from the chat room. Also, I was missing a lot of the other comments that were being mentioned in the chat room. Les Miles isn't an offensive-minded coach, offensive-minded enough for the Pac-12, excuse me. You got to score points in that conference. One word is ego. Lane is such an unattractive hire for a head coach. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that one. Lane Kiffin isn't the reason for Alabama's success. I agree with that also. And also was mentioned, when you have much depth in a defense that good, generating offense becomes much less difficult. And that's all speaking toward the efficiency of Alabama as well. So I don't know. I agree. Everything he just said. I don't know how much of this we give to Lane Kiffin for him to go to Oregon, where Oregon is being watched to turn this thing around, with Helfrich being under 500 also. This is an extreme measure for him to try to turn this around if they consider Lane Kiffin. But these are just being mentioned in the chat room. Shout out to the chat room as well. Tommy, your thoughts on this? And I don't know if Doc may want to speak to this after this also. But Tommy, your thoughts.
Lane Kiffin. I was actually going to bring him up. What has he really proven? I don't understand why what's he done? Literally, Tennessee, nothing. With USC, nothing. But for some reason, he is the number one candidate for Houston. Houston is he's Houston's number one candidate. Why? Literally, why? I don't get it. Plus, by reports, Coach O for LSU told everybody that he had that meeting with to get this LSU job, that I actually agree with the hire. I really do. He's a Louisiana guy. He knows he'll do fine. He told them he could get Lane Kiffin to be the offensive coordinator there. Let's see what happens. Lane Kiffin's name's being thrown around like he's somebody good. I don't see it. The only reason he's winning at Alabama is because of the name, Alabama. All they got to do is walk into a five-star or a four-star blue chipper, walk in, throw down, say, we're Alabama, come sign. No sign most of the time. Now, Amar Richardson didn't. He stayed faithful and went to Miami. Thank you. But overall, all you got to do is show in that big A and that stupid elephant, and you'll get whatever kids you want anymore. Pretty much. Now, some will be like, yeah, okay, I'm going wherever. But pretty much, Alabama, some of these kids, all you got to do is walk in, throw in here, okay, yeah, I like it. So what's Lane Kiffin really done? Nothing.
Doc, anything that you'd like to mention from what you've heard before we get moving?
Yeah, Tommy's made me think of what a recruiting visit might look like from Nick Saban into a young man's kitchen. Maybe you've got somebody dressed up as the letter A, somebody in an elephant costume, and they're all standing around the kitchen table with the mother and the son, you know, doing the rammer jammer. The rammer jammer call that they do at the end of their games when they win. That would be quite entertaining. Maybe that's how they land the big recruit.
I'm going to just say this, and I know that you're trying to be colorful with this. If you look at the past, how do I do it? 5 to 7 years of what Alabama's done, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. His resume is speaking for itself. In the past, 7 years? I don't even think he's amounted to 10 losses. That would entice me, especially if my son is going to play ball there, or if it were me, I want to be a part of a winner. I want to try to contend for a national championship. I don't think there's much that Nick Saban has to put on the table. Looking at Lane Kiffin's situation, I'm speaking about this personally. I'm going to just do this personally. How the heck can you try to walk away from Alabama and go somewhere else where it is already in losing culture? There's a losing culture. You're going from – this is kind of similar to what Jamie Collins from the New England Patriots just did. You're going from a winning culture to going to a losing culture to watch it try to turn around in a 1 to 3 to 4 year scenario where by the time it turns around, the kids graduate. So if it's not broke, don't fix it is the way I'm looking at this. If Lane Kiffin were to go anywhere – I'm suggesting that he stay put. But, you know, people like to challenge themselves and go out there and do more. The Houston situation, they do have a good offense. He likes to be an offensive-minded coach, which I do agree with. He probably could just run right back into the saddle of watching that offense fly crazy. Oregon, he may be able to turn that situation around. But, like I said, that could be a 1 to 3 year, or possibly two. It depends on how long it takes him to get his feet in the ground there and make things turn out the way he wants to. But like I said, I'm speaking on this personally. I think Lane Kiffin should stay put. But I have been wrong before. I can't be wrong here. But regardless,
let me just bring up one more point.
Hold on. I'm not done. There's people that we go to work with every day that we don't like, or we don't get along with, or we don't see eye to eye. If Nick Saban is the guy that you don't get along with, but this is your boss at the point in time, and things are working, and you guys are 12-0 at this point in time, sometimes you have to swallow your pride. You have to. I just don't get it. I mean, how many people across the nation look at Nick Saban in a difficult light? I challenge that also. Okay, I don't know if it was you, Tommy, or Doc trying to speak. I'll let you go.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, actually, what you said at the end there was what I wanted to circle back to. My whole point, I just think the way Saban runs the show and treats his assistant coaches from reports that I've read doesn't sit well with a guy like Lane Kiffin. He feels he's better than what he is doing right now. And whether he goes to a coordinator at LSU or goes to a head coaching position at another school, Tommy mentioned he doesn't understand why Houston's being brought up. Well, Lane Kiffin at Houston would be a pretty big get for that school. So whatever he ends up doing, I wouldn't be surprised if he did leave. And to Ty's point, you just have to suck it up. Well, I agree with that in a lot of senses, but in this particular case, what more does he have to prove? I keep on going back to that. Maybe they win another national championship this year. Well, that would be two. Why stick around? Why put up with being second fiddle to a hard ass in Nick Saban? I'm not saying he's great, he's upset. It's just, I think it would be a natural time to move on.
I've heard the same thing about Nick Saban. Treat his assistants like garbage. And to what Todd said going to, I mean, if LSU had a quarterback, they beat Alabama this year. There were so many times he had throws and he didn't make it. That game was 0-0 going into the fourth. And it was a turnover that changed it. They have it. They can get an offensive coordinator in there that can recruit and get a quarterback in there. There's tons of blue chip quarterbacks anymore. It's not like it was when we were growing up, when you could pick here and there. They're all over the place now with this 7-on-7 and all these other camps and everything else. They can get a quarterback in there.
Yeah.
They could be a dangerous team. They've got weapons outside. Dupree. They've got the run. They got two good running backs. All they're missing is a quarterback.
I was a blue chip NAIA recruit.
Hey, whatever works, man. Whatever works. But I don't know if it's a scenario that I look at it like, well, they don't have a quarterback or whatever, because they've had quarterbacks that gone to the league. I mean, quarterbacks from LSU have gone into the NFL, not really having great success, but they've actually made an NFL roster. They've also had receivers on the outside. If you don't know of Odell Beckham or if you don't know of Jarvis Landry, these guys have been a part of their receiving corps. So they've had that capability on the outside. They just didn't force the issue. They were more or less comfortable trying to play smash-mouth football and pound the ball instead of trusting in the system or trusting the process. So just like you said, Tommy, if they had a quarterback, if they had an offensive coordinator, if they had this, listen, they got to go out there and play that game. They practice more than just running plays in practice before the game comes out there. They have to have confidence in what they're doing with everything that they send out there on the field. So I understand that if they did throw the ball more, they could have potentially won the game, but every time we've seen Alabama and LSU play, the score has been 10-9, 9-6, 13-10. That score doesn't even impress me when people start to talk about, oh, quarterback this, quarterback that. They're not going to score anyway. Nobody's going to score that game. I care less. They've had opportunities on the outside with receivers, and they have not made that happen progressively, even with Les Miles there.
Can I toss out a question just for Tatai and to Tommy? Just a quick question.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the question. Is the SEC the victim of Alabama's success? And I heard this asked earlier in the week, and I'd be interested to hear what your comments are. Is the SEC a victim of Alabama's success? Because we can all agree that the SEC is down this year. It really is a watered-down conference. Probably is where the Big Ten was at not long ago. And specifically, and you guys just hit on it, quarterback play. If you're a quarterback, why would you go to the SEC to face Alabama every year? I'm not saying that that is how it is. It's just a question that I'd like to hear some comments on.
Tony, I'll let you go first.
Yes, in a way. But in the same thing, I think, and I said it, and you can put Ohio State in the same category. And we're going to get into this playoffs because I'm really got some points to prove that this shit is biased. The SEC protects Alabama. If they're not going to win, that's losing money for the NCAA and the SEC. So they protect them. Then it keeps Nick Saban from running his mouth and boo-hoo and whining and crying. It's ridiculous. I see the thing this morning on College Game Day. This is non-conference records. The Big Ten was number one. So I think it was like 7-4. The ACC was number two. At like 6-4 or something like that, 6-3 or something. The SEC non-conference that's supposed to be so mighty and so dominant over everybody went 6-8 in non-conference this year. And I bet you a lot of the six wins come from Alabama playing a no-name, except maybe USC that I want to get into later in the show, because USC right now might be one of the hottest teams playing right now.
Okay, we'll turn the page from the situation. This is a very hot topic. I like the storm that we put behind this one. And this is all from Mark Helfrich. And we went totally – this is how we cook here at Sports City. Call the number 917-889-9592. I want to see how you guys feel about something that I've actually been stressing for quite some time. And I feel like I'm wrong in bringing this up right now, but I feel like I wouldn't get any ground to say this anywhere else. And that's the way Western Michigan took care of business in running the table on their season and winning their their conference championship game yesterday, 29-23, up against Ohio. And their coach coming out to speak so, I don't even know which word to say. Like, I want to say, like, so strong, a case in point on what they were able to do and being so impressive. I mean, there's so many big words and good feeling nature words that I can use toward their coach to try and see something happen for Western Michigan. And rightfully so, after he said everything, at least put them into the Cotton Bowl. Give them what they want up until this point. If you're not going to at least let them be a part of the playoff scenario, one of the only unbeatens left. I mean, you have Alabama in them, but they're going to be ruled out because of the conference that they're in. It's tough across the board if you're not going to look out at these schools because they're outside of the power conference. I can't look at the MAC being a strong conference. But with them running the table and being a top 25 considered team and still having them hover under 15, they are under 15th ranked. I want to see how you guys feel about the situation with Western Michigan taking care of business and having their coach, you know, kind of, you know, yell at the committee or the powers that be to put them inside that Cotton Bowl game. Doc, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, my biggest beef is the fact that Western Michigan is undefeated and they're ranked as low as they are. Now, that is just an embarrassment.
Right.
They are going to go to a New Year's Six Bowl, so they're going to get a little love there. The other question then is being left out of the playoff core. You know, if we were at an 18 playoff or certainly a 16 team playoff, then they're in and they didn't have a chance to play for something. Are they one of the four best teams in the country? I would have to say no, but this is what's so screwy about Division I college football. You got a team that is in the same level as all the others, Division I and 1A, and they ran the table. What more can they do? There has to be a system in place to where you give a team a shot that goes undefeated. I'm sorry. There has to be a system devised. A team that goes undefeated in Division 1A football, it's the same division as Alabama and all the others, they deserve a shot to play for the national title. I just don't think we have a system that would allow them that opportunity right now. But they will get the spot in the New Year's Six Bowl. We'll see if they can go 14-0. And what they have done has just been magnificent this year. And the fact that they're ranked as low as they are really is the biggest travesty of the whole thing.
And rightfully so, what Doc mentions is how you look at unbeaten teams and doing what they're supposed to do with the schedule that they're given and don't get the same consideration. Looking at the same head coach from Washington right now, he left Boise State because Boise State was being held in the same light. He would run the table with Boise State and be held out because of the conference that they're in. When they finally lose a game in their third or fourth year, they run the table for two or three straight years, they lose a game, and it's like, oh, what? See, that's what we were talking about the whole time. Like, they were going to lose one of these games. It's like, how many seniors did you watch walk away from this team or this school? So it's funny how they view these guys or view these schools that are in conferences that are outside the power conferences and not being held in the same light or same manner. I feel like it's very disrespectful. And seeing how the coach came out, spoke for his team, and there's not much that he can do. It's outside of his hands at this point in time. Tommy, your thoughts on the Western Michigan situation with them running the table and still being outside of the top 15, let alone the top 10. They're outside of a top 15 team.
One, I'd like to correct Doc on something. Right now, they're not guaranteed a New Year's Eve bowl because Navy still has to play today in the American. Plus, Navy plays next week against the Army game. And the committee, if they wanted to, can call a meeting to discuss the Western Michigan and Navy. Navy still can possibly get into the New Year's Eve Bowl and not Western Michigan. And I agree with this. I was hoping Western Michigan lose so we could just stop this shit. I'm so sick and tired. They're in the MAC. I'm sorry. Go ahead and put them against one of these big team, these big name schools. I guarantee you, you'll watch a quarter of it because that's all you're going to need to watch because it's going to be a blowout. They're not going to play with these big schools. They want to play with the big boys, leave the sorry MAC, and join some big conference and see how big you are. You're not going to win these games. I'm sorry. Navy deserves it more than what Western Michigan does. This is Western in the playing teams in the top 40. Navy is 2-1. 2-1. Western Michigan, 0-0. They didn't play anybody that's in the top 40. So otherwise, they didn't play a bunch of no-names. You struggled against the MAC championship game against Ohio. If the dummy wouldn't have threw the interception at the end, he threw the ball right to him, you would have won that. You'd have been done. So I'm tired of hearing this. Is like Tyler last year, running, going on about Iowa. And I kept telling him, and Chandler kept telling him, don't believe in it. It's war. It's not going to happen. It's garbage. What happened? Michigan State beat them. Same thing's going to happen. Go ahead. Put Western Michigan in one of these big-time bowl games. Hell, put them against Miami. Put them against a team in the SEC or one of these middle pack in the ACC schools. I bet you it's over by halftime. Guarantee it.
Have to see them get the opportunity. That's what I want to see. If that's the case, if this is bull crap, as you say it, I want to see it at least be given to them. Give them the opportunity
to
go out there and do that. They're not being given the opportunity. I'm going to say it like this. And I feel like I'm dating myself, but I'm going to show the same situation. That team in 2003, Miami, Ohio, could have beat anybody that they wanted to play right there with Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger ran that table out there and wasn't given a consideration. He came into the league. Nobody knew anything about him in the NFL. And Ben Roethlisberger is one of the elite in the NFL.
Hey, what were they saying, Ty, about Boise State when they went to Oklahoma? Oh, they're going to get blown out. They're finally going to play somebody
gonna
that
them.
Matters.
Oh, what are they going to do with Adrian Peterson? They can't do nothing with Adrian Peterson. They shut Adrian Peterson down and won the game. You know what gets me tired? You know what gets me sick? Is people that are paper champions. You know what paper champions is? They go by what they see on paper and don't go out there and let people go out there and prove themselves. Because I come from a town or an area or a state or section of the United States of America where they already overlooked this area because the talent is supposedly in the South. The talent is supposedly in California where there is a ton of talent that's out here, let alone. But they overlook it. Same like the same situation, and I hate to admit this on air with Doc on air, but with people out there in Ohio. Ohio State was being overlooked, and then they stumped Alabama at the right time. Stumped them. Same situation happened with Miami. Ohio, middle of America, overlooking them because they're in the MAC. and they ran the table consistently while Roethlisberger was there. You got the same situation with Western Michigan. Give them the opportunity. I want to see them get beat. Just like, and I'm glad Doc brought that up. Just like everybody thought Oklahoma was going to punish Boise State. Guess who won that game on a trick play?
Oh, yeah. How about Utah and Alabama? I mean, we can name a few. And let me tell you, this is the point, guys. And we can agree or disagree with this, and that's fine. That they're in the same division, 1A or whatever it's called now, FBS. Now, if we want to go around and say that everyone's in the premier division, 120 teams, okay, then start giving these guys, get a system to give the guys that go undefeated like this an opportunity to play. That's all we're asking. And if you're not going to treat them like that, then just go split off the Power 5 conferences in their own division and be done with it, like the English Premier League in soccer over in the United Kingdom. Their elite teams broke away from the old Division One, and they have the Premier League now. This is ridiculous to say, well, you know, for branding purposes, you're Division One, but we're never going to give you a legitimate shot, especially if you run the tape. And I don't necessarily disagree with Tommy. Well, how would Western Michigan do if they played a schedule like Alabama or something? Well, I mean, I personally think they'd beat at least half the teams on Alabama's schedule, if not more. The week in and week out grind and the depth of the schools is a valid point. But the fact of the matter is, Western Michigan is undefeated, and we should have a system that allows that kind of thing to go or an opportunity to play for the title.
Okay. Anything else on this before we get away from it? Okay. I do want to get to some of these games before they do start to take place at 12 o'clock, but I do want to say this one before we get into these situations. How do you guys feel about the Heisman watch? Is it still the Lamar Jackson watch, or have other players put themselves in this conversation after Louisville has actually lost another game? I want to see how you guys feel about the Heisman watch before we do jump into the games and picks for this week. I'll start with you first, Tommy. Sorry.
Last Sunday? Watch to see if Deshaun Watson doesn't win this. Watch. He's got a chance today to win it. If he goes out against the Hokies and put on a good show, watch and see. Lamar Jackson has, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's up there. He'll still be in New York. He still could be there. I would not sleep on Deshaun Watson. I'm telling you. He can put on a show today, and I look for them. I really see Dabo opening up his offense. They're really opening this offense. I'm telling you, watch out for Watson.
Okay. And, Doc, your thoughts on this Heisman watch? Who do you think is the guy, or is it still the Lamar Jackson show?
Well, you know, I'm so sick and tired of the Heisman being manipulated by the talking heads at the national level. We do not even talk anywhere near of the people we should for this award. We've had a couple of situations this year. Jackson is an example. I mean, Louisville is what they are now, so that dynamic has changed. How about Jabril Peppers? What happened to all the talk on him? Well, that got shut up after Ohio State. Hey, you know, he had one kickoff return that was halfway decent, but Ohio State pretty much shut him out. He didn't have the big jaw-dropping plays, so we don't talk about him anymore. Meanwhile, you've got that wide receiver from Louisiana Tech I've talked about. I can't remember his name because I'm driving this U-Haul van. And you've got Donnell Pumphrey. He just keeps on doing electric stuff. So, you know, unless you're going to invite Donnell Pumphrey and that wide receiver from Louisiana Tech and maybe a couple other people, then it really is a non-starter for me. Those are the people that are having Heisman kinds of seasons and have Heisman kinds of stories to them, and they're not getting the kind of play that they should because, well, they don't play for a blue-chip school. That's not what the Heisman is about. The Heisman is not the best blue-chip player.
in a situation where we look at the politics behind sports. That's one thing that I'm looking at. I'll just throw that out there, man. Is it more or less a situation where the money is involved, and but backing a lot of these schools and giving the, you know, rightfully mannered or mentioned player at that given time, and not to say Louisville is that school, because I don't feel Louisville is the school that is generating a whole bunch of money toward college football, but the impressive numbers and things that Lamar Jackson has been able to do in the past 2 years, especially going into this year, looking at how many touchdowns that he's responsible for, he's over 3,000 yards passing, and let alone over 1,000 yards rushing. It's tough. It's tough. Okay, I am going to get into some of these games, because some of these games do take flight at 12 o'clock, and I don't like missing them, especially when the games start. Okay, first and foremost, as of yesterday, and I'm moving all over the board. Yesterday, Washington creamed Colorado. I can't even say it any differently. Washington took care of business up against Colorado, 41-10. Browning having a great day. Washington defense is one of the lone defenses I give respect to in the Pac-12. They shut them down. I think the only bright spot of Colorado was the running back, Lindsey. Lindsey was doing a good job running the ball. They shut Lee Fowl down. At one point in this game, he only had 3 completions, and this was in the fourth quarter. He had 3 completions passing the ball into the fourth quarter. Washington, I tip my hat, man. I'm more than likely the committee should have you guys a part of the playoffs. If they don't, we'll be right back here talking about this. I can't overlook that one. And just like we mentioned before, Western Michigan took care of business, winning 29-23 in a tough one up against Ohio. Just like Tommy mentioned, there was a very interesting interception at the end of the game that helped Western Michigan seal the deal. Okay, so the game that takes flight today, one of the matchups that Tommy spoke on, I'll come to you first, Doc. Temple and Navy going at it for a conference battle. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
Yeah, I'm going to take Navy in this. Their triple option is very tough to stop when it's rolling, and this has been a team that has flown under the radar most of the year. It took them way too long to get respect, to get ranked, while we were still screwing around with some 3-loss teams or whatever that was getting some respect just because they happen to play in a bigger conference or what have you. But I'm going to go with Navy in just 10 seconds here to the Washington game. It's going to be interesting to see what the playoff committee comes up with tomorrow night or whenever the announcement is. It's supposed to be the 4 best teams in the country. I do not think Washington is the 4th best team in the country. So they're going to have to go to intangibles, or not intangibles, but to other factors, I think. And the fact that Michigan has 2 losses and Washington only has 1, though the resumes don't compare, I think the jump ball will be the conference championship. And I think they played themselves into the playoffs last night, though I just do not believe they're one of the 4 best teams in the country.
Tommy, who do you like in this matchup, Temple or Navy?
Navy.
Okay, we have a clean sweep on that one. I am also going Navy. Now, this is a very interesting matchup. it's like they had different scenarios on getting to this point in time in their schedule. Oklahoma started the season off with those 2 losses, have not lost since. Oklahoma State has lost at different point in times in this season, and they both have the same record at 9-2 for a Big 12 matchup. Within that state of Oklahoma, I actually like this matchup. This is a very, very interesting matchup, and I'm not going to lie. People, this is a 10 paces and draw game. I repeat, this is 10 paces and draw, number 9 versus number 10. I think this is going to be a straight-up shootout. I don't care how you look at it. I don't even want to call it old-fashioned. I know for a fact that this is going to be a shootout. If defenses come to play, I want to be wrong if they see defense because, well, I actually like receivers, and I like Mason Rudolph as well, the quarterback for Oklahoma State. But this is a very good game. I actually like this one. A lot of intrigue to me toward this one. I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Tommy, who do you like in this matchup, Oklahoma State or Oklahoma?
Oklahoma. We got to hurry up. So I got to get to my, back to my seat before kickoff at noon.
Doc, who do you like in this matchup, Oklahoma State or Oklahoma?
I'll take Oklahoma, and I'd love to see him play Washington in a national playoff.
I agree as well. I'm going to go with Oklahoma. We have another clean sweep. Baylor, West Virginia, who do you guys like in this matchup and why? Doc, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, I'll take West Virginia.
I agree. I'm going with West Virginia. Tommy, who do you like, Baylor or West Virginia?
West Virginia, Baylor's quit already. They're done.
Okay, next game we have is Alabama, Florida. Does anybody feel Alabama will lose this game?
Please, no. Hell no.
You know what? I'll do it. I think Florida's going to Florida's going to do it. I think the team in Alabama knows that they don't need to win this game to get in, and Florida's going to be geeked up, and I think it'll just be great for college football to really have that kind of conversation. So I'm going to take Florida in this game.
Okay, Clemson and Virginia Tech. Anybody feel Virginia Tech is fully upset off today?
I'm taking Clemson.
Okay, we have another clean sweep. The only one we have is Florida so far with Doc. Everything has been a clean sweep so far. And last but not least, on big games today, and this is the one that I'm watching closely, Wisconsin, number 6 in the nation, up against number 7 in the nation, the Penn State Nittany Lions. Tommy, your thoughts on this one, and I'll let you give your closeout as well.
I'm going Wisconsin. Give me Wisconsin. I think there's something funny going on. For the closeout, since we didn't really get to it, the playoff announcements tomorrow at noon. I think it's funny how this would be the third year of the playoffs. And all you've heard the first 2 years, win your conference championship, win your conference championship. Well, guess what? Alabama's going to win their conference championship. Washington won theirs. See, Clemson should win, but the ACC, you never know. That's the most crookedest thing I've ever seen in my life in college football. That whole conference is crooked. So, Ohio State, let me see here. You're not in your conference championship. Wisconsin and Penn State is. Wait a minute. Yep. Bias. I'm telling you right now, the conference, your national championship is going to be Alabama and Ohio State. It's fixed. And if they screw Washington and put Michigan in, then I believe Washington is one of the top four teams. If you want to take the top four teams in the country that's playing right now, you better put USC in there because USC is killing everybody. They have figured it out. I think they would beat Ohio State now. They'd beat Michigan now. They've already beat Washington. I think they beat Alabama now. They have figured it out. But you know what? Since they lost in three games, they're not even being looked at. Whoever they play in the Rose Bowl, watch to see if they don't wax.
Okay, Doc, your thoughts on this matchup. This is in your respected conference, and it's very interesting. I want to hear how you feel about everything right now in the Big Ten also. But number 6, Wisconsin, up against number 7, Penn State. Who do you like in this matchup?
Well, there's no doubt that Penn State has kind of figured out things, too, with the play of their quarterback stepping up. That has made a difference, and they played Ohio State very tough in a very favorable environment for them. However, I just think Wisconsin is the overall better team, and they can run and pound the ball, and they have played a very tough and I think they are seasoned for this victory. Penn State, on the other hand, has one big marquee win against Ohio State, and congratulations to them, but their schedule is pretty thin, and outside of that, you just don't know how good they are. So with that said, they can certainly win today. But I'm going to give it to, in my opinion, to Wisconsin because I think that defensive front and their ability to run the ball will get the job done today. And to some of the things that I heard from Tommy, look, you know, Alabama had the same sort of treatment in, what was it, 2011, when we only had two teams in. And the fact of the matter is we can sit here and talk about how USC is this, this, and this. Well, they didn't start out very good. And they have three losses or whatever it is, two or three losses. I think it's three. So, you know, you can't just ignore that because in the last however many, they have been playing well. If they had just one loss, that situation would be different. But it's not. And, you know, I think the system, you know, as far as Ohio State goes, they're one of the four best teams in the country. And Tommy brought up, well, conference championships. Well, that's been a fallacy, a media-driven fallacy in this whole playoff system for the last 3 years. I don't know who started this, that, well, if you win your conference, you're in. Nowhere does it say that. It's the four best teams in the country. Now, the committee has, you know, announced that they look at conference championships, but that is not a criteria. This is four at-large spots. There are no automatic bids. And so you cannot tell me that Ohio State does not deserve to be into the playoff system based on the schedule that they have played. I mean, look, here in Ohio, for example, Division I high school football, Cincinnati St. Xavier lost. They went 5-5 in the regular season, 5-5, and they are now the state champions in Division I football. They beat a very good St. Ignatius team, one of the best teams in the country, who only had one or two losses, I think it was. Well, the schedule that St. Xavier played was unbelievable. It was one of the best schedules in the country, if not the best. So, you know, it's about the schedule. You may not win the conference, but they were one of the best teams, and that's, I think, where Ohio State is at the end of the day. So not to belabor the point, Ohio State will be in the playoffs, and somebody, you know, because of the system, is going to get screwed, but nobody's going to get screwed as much as Western Michigan is, frankly.
Interesting. Tommy, would you like to speak to that before we get away from it? Okay.
It all comes down to money, money, money. Who brings in more money for everything? That's all this shit comes down to. It's all about the big dollar bill. Who brings in more money? Alabama does. The fuck guys do. It's whoever brings in can bring in the more money to the money hungry NCAA. All this comes down to.
All right, I am going against the panel. I feel Penn State pulls this out. They are playing with a chip on their shoulder. All of the media and everything that's behind them and everything going on, I feel like they should be able to throw the monkey wrench right into this system and make everything spooky around this playoff scenario, things of that nature, and also in the Big Ten. To be on top of the Big Ten and be held out, to be held out of the playoff situation will be beyond me. It'll be beyond me if Penn State is the hottest team in the Big Ten. If they win today, they beat Wisconsin, which it's funny about Wisconsin because I respect Wisconsin, but I don't think that they should be as highly ranked as they are, but hey, so be it. So,
if Penn State wins this,
I don't do this to you, Tommy. I don't do this to you, Tommy. I don't do this to you. Please let me finish.
You got to take
Ohio State out there.
Oh, my goodness. At the end of the day, like I was saying, I know that Wisconsin will be respected by the committee, so on and so forth, but I feel like Penn State is the hottest team in that conference right now, especially knocking off the number two ranked team in Ohio State. They're already giving Ohio State that leg up, and if they win, they still will get overlooked by a team in Michigan or however this committee situation at the end of the day. So I am going with Penn State right now. I'm going against the panel, even though I feel like Wisconsin may have more of the talent on the board and their defense may be more stout, but Penn State got this done up against the Ohio State team, and I'm not going to lie. I sat here right here in this same kitchen right here in the tailgate with the same two people that I'm on air with right now and said, I feel Ohio State is going to beat Penn State. and Penn State took care of business. And I give Doc credit because Doc came on air and said it's something about Ohio State playing two back-to-back 8:30 games, night games, and playing a whiteout up against Penn State. It just felt like it was a funny horror about it, but I still felt Ohio State would pull that game out somehow, somewhere. And Penn State did it. They did it. Well, we'll see how these games go down as the afternoon commences, and we'll get into talking about things that went down throughout the week and tomorrow into the brunch. We will be in our seventh-year anniversary. Well, the 6th of December is the real seven-year anniversary, but the brunch 7 years ago, 2009, was where it all started. So I'm glad to mention that. Hopefully we get everybody here in the kitchen. I'm going to try to promote this like crazy to get all of the old names, voices, and faces into the kitchen tomorrow show. It should be epic. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Like I said, tomorrow's brunch should be epic, 11 a.m. Please get back in here. 7 years and running coming tomorrow, 24 hours, man. Get back in here. December 6th, the original anniversary date, but this is the original brunch when it all went down 7 years ago. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'll be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run a town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. Since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the buns was, but these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, it's true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast. Get lost in tonight and make it all light up.